Church, Chet would have been just fine without me. He's an awesome guy. You can tell what's going to happen with a team by who they draft, right? The Browns every year were setting like this. Well, let me tell you something. Chet was a first-round draft pick with God. And the fact that he's given him to you as a church means God loves his church more than you know. But every great leader, every great quarterback, he's got to have a team. Do you hear me, church? Chet's going to stand up here and throw the long ball. He's going to preach his heart out to you, but you got to catch it. He's got to hand the ball off, and some of you got to run with it and create ministries that make a difference in the world. And I pray that some of you have a heart to defend your pastor. He needs some good blocking once in a while. If somebody gossips to you about Chet, you defend him. He deserves it. And I believe God has his hand on him in a special way to build an awesome congregation that's going to influence this generation and the generation to come. I'm honored to know the guy. Our dear Heavenly Father, you are the God of the church. You love the church and gave yourself for it. You promised to build a church that the gates of hell could not prevail against. And I pray that I could speak about that kind of church today, and people would be inspired to give you their very best. And I ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is Göbekli Tepe. Archaeologists say that it's 12,000 years old. It's the oldest monumental building that has been discovered on the earth. It was built by people before we lived in cities. It was built by hunter-gatherer people. At an incredible risk of their lives, they came here every summer and built this, and this is just one of the circles. And archaeologists say they don't understand completely how it worked, but it was a religious site. No one knows how they cut those stones and moved them and stood them up with hunter-gatherer technology, but it meant so much to them that they figured it out. And 12,000 years later, we look at that and we think about people who made incredible sacrifices that have lasted that long. This is the Great Pyramid. It was built 4,600 years ago. And there was a big temple in front of it. And this was built to worship Pharaoh and to help Pharaoh do his job in the night sky. We still don't know how they built the pyramids. You can watch the shows on TV. There's all these theories about how they did it, but we don't know how they moved all that block and without power tools and built that pyramid. We just know that it meant so much to them, they figured out a way. This is the Parthenon. It was built 432 years before Christ. I've been there. I've walked around up there. It's called the Parthenon because Parthenos means virgin. And Athena was the virgin goddess of Athens. And they built a remarkable building to say to the world, this is how special we think Athena is. And it's lasted all these years. This is the Pantheon. It was built 125 years after Christ, and some of you know this building. It has a hole, a circular hole in the roof. It's called an ocular, and the light shines through that hole at different times of the year, and the light moves around the interior to shine on different Roman gods at different times. This is Hagia Sophia. It was built 532 years after Christ. The pinnacles were put up after the after Islam captured the city. I've been inside this building, and the dome creates a space that makes you feel mysterious. They didn't have the technology, so to build this building, they actually built dirt up around it inside it. And so as the walls went up, they just built the dirt up. And they built all the way up to build the dome, and then they had to clear all the dirt out of it. It meant so much to them, they were willing to do that. This is the Cathedral of Chartres. For you can speak French, I know it's said with much more elegance, but that's the best my hillbilly tongue can do with it. It was built 1,220 years after Christ. It's a Gothic cathedral. It has the flying buttresses on the side walls because the walls are too thin to support the roof, and most of the walls are stained glass. Built primarily by peasants. And all these years later, we look and say, this God meant this much to these people. This is the Crystal Cathedral. It was built in 1980. I've been there. When you drive up to the place, you're stunned. And then you go in and it's glass and there's a fountain in the middle, and the place just feels special. All these buildings were built by people primarily like you and I, who said, with my life, I'm going to make a statement about what I believe about God. When Paul was trying to convince the church at Corinth to be the church that God wanted them to be, he said, every congregation decides, is it going to be a wood, hay, or stubble church, or is it going to be a gold, silver, or precious stone church? He says, every church decides at some point, are we going to do something that means everything to us and cost us everything, or are we just going to give God the leftovers of our life? So Paul said this, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, that's actually the word architect, like a skilled architect, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul said right up front to the church at Corinth, you need to know the foundation of the church. And the foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. And everything the church does, it does on the shoulders and in relationship to Jesus Christ. I'd like you to know that 36 years ago, Sharon and I laid the foundation for this church. 1982. And we said from the very beginning, this is a church that's going to kill itself to demonstrate the excellence of Christ to the world. It's necessary because Jesus Christ paid such a terrible price to lay the foundation for the church. I want to remind you what it cost Christ to create the church. I want to remind you what he gave up so there could be a church. I hope you live in a nice house, but your house is nothing compared to where Jesus Christ lived. He lived in splendor and majesty, and holy beings worshiped him 24 hours a day. And he walked away from it. He gave up his home in glory, and he showed up in a city where the people were so callous that they said to his mother, "You're not really important to us, and we don't have any room for you." And not long after he was born, the insane King Herod, filled with jealousy and rage, turned Jesus into a refugee, and his mom and dad fled to Egypt with him. Christ paid a big price to create the church. He confronted the demon of self-indulgence and fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And afterward, he endured the insulting tests of the unholy one. He tutored 12 guys for 3 years, and still they didn't get it. And when the chips were down, they all forsook him and fled. He smelled the stale breath and touched the crusty skin of a leper and said, "I will be clean." They talked bad about him behind his back. They said, "What a loser. His only friends are despised tax collectors and despicable sinners." He was insulted by religious leaders, treated with contempt by the arrogant King Herod, dealt with unjustly by the Roman tyrant Pilate. He was publicly slapped in the face, punched in the mouth, and spit on. The price he paid to create the church. He was crucified. And he walked the valley of the shadow of death alone. But he defeated death and rose again. And he ascended in heaven. And he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. Church, we need to know what it cost Christ to create the church. Before you decide what the church is worth to you, before you decide what you're willing to do for Christ, you need to be reminded of what he paid so that you could be a Christian. And in this passage, Paul recognizes two kinds of churches. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. See what Paul said? Every church decides what kind of church are we going to be. Are we going to be a wood, hay, and stubble church, or are we going to be a gold, silver, and precious stone church? I've got some large pine trees in my yard, really big. And all winter long, pine cones fell down and branches and pine needles. You couldn't even see my driveway for the mess. So my grandson Christian came over and we cleaned it all up and got 5 bags worth of pine cones, sticks, and pine needles. Now use your imagination. I want you to imagine that I put those 5 bags in the back of my truck. And I drove to the local Ford dealer, F-150's best vehicle on the road. And I pull in and said, "I'm going to trade my truck in," and we figure out a price, and he goes, "Do you have a down payment?" I said, "Yeah." I open the back of my truck, and I pull out these 5 bags of pine cones, sticks, and needles. Say, "Yeah, this is my down payment." He's going to look at me and say, "Dude, you need to see a doctor. You're nuts." April 15th is coming up. Maybe I'll mail in my 5 bags of pine cone sticks and pine needles and see if the IRS would be happy with that. But somehow or another, For many Christians, we think God should be content with the pine cones, the sticks, and the pine needles of our lives. We think anything we offer to God, he should accept. The problem is that's not how I read the Bible. Cain made an offering, but God didn't accept it. Do you hear this? In the Old Testament, when you brought an offering, you had to bring the best you had. If you brought the cheesy junk, God wouldn't accept it. But somehow or another, we get in the modern age and we think that God is so desperate that whatever I have left over in my life, he'll just be glad to get. And Paul says that's not the way it works. If you're giving God the leftovers of your life, you're building a wood, hay, and stubble church. And it's not going to be worth much, and God isn't going to be glorified there. The wood, hay, and stubble says, the wood, hay, and stubble church says, what's the least amount of time I have to give? How many times do I have to go to church every year? It says, don't you understand that I have a boat and a cabin and I want to do things in the summer? The wood, hay, and stubble church says, I work hard and use my talent all week long. Sunday's my day off and I just don't want the responsibility. The wood, hay, and stubble church says, my money is mine. And if I don't want to give it, I won't. The wood, hay, and stubble church says, what's in it for me? It says, let somebody else do it. It says, we can't afford it. I wish I could tell you how many wonderful things our church has that people said we couldn't afford. The wood, hay, and stubble says, why can't you just appreciate my bag of pine cones? The wood, hay, and stubble church doesn't understand that if nothing valuable is put in, nothing valuable is created. Can you hear me, church? And the wood, hay, and stubble church doesn't last. You can see them everywhere. You drive by and you see what's left from a wood, hay, and stubble church. And there's nothing attractive about it. Now, could I talk to you about the gold, silver, and precious stone church? The gold, silver, and precious stone church says, I'm going to give enough time, talent, and money to demonstrate the excellence of Christ. Do you get this? People look at our church and they say, does this demonstrate the excellence of Christ? Or they say, there's very little excellent about this at all. The gold, silver, and precious stone church says, we're going to get enough time, talent, and money to inspire people to join the joy of ministry. People want to be part of a winner. And I don't blame them. I want to be giving myself away in a church where God is doing awesome stuff. In the gold, silver, and precious stone church, people give enough time, talent, and money to make the challenge of the adventure of faith edgy. Gold, silver, and precious stone churches try hard things. Wood, hay, and stubble only try the easy. Gold, silver, and precious stone give enough time, talent, and money to teach the lifestyle of generosity. In a gold, silver, and precious stone church, kids grow up in the church that proves the relevance of God, and they want their lives to matter. Chet, Katie, Jake, they grew up in our church. They saw God doing things. And when God whispered to their souls, they said yes. It made sense to give their life away to God because they grew up in a church where they saw God was relevant and meaningful, and it was worth the gift of their life. In a gold, silver, and precious stone church, adults encourage and support each other in small groups so that they grow up and have a healthy spiritual life. In a gold, silver, and precious stone church, God's lost kids are found and reconnected to the family of God. Do you understand? When we give God our best, sinners come to Christ in our church. God sends his lost kids to the church where there is a heart for Christ. I know churches that no one has come to Christ in decades. In the gold, silver, and precious stone church, the community served in a way that Christ is glorified. People in the community see us living out our faith, and Christ is glorified. In the gold, silver, and precious stone, the poor are fed and clothed and lifted just the way Christ taught us to. In the gold, silver, and precious stone church, magnificent buildings are built, and God gathers thousands of people every Sunday to hear the preaching of the gospel. Sharon and I went to the land today before we came to church. And we sat there in the cul-de-sac, and we prayed. And we looked out on that land, and we said, "Dear God, please, could we please build a building here that glorifies Jesus Christ, that attracts people's attention, that makes people want to think twice about God? A building that will be interesting for hundreds of years to come." That's a gold, silver, and precious stone church. You get that? You can't put a hut out there and say God should be content with it. We have to build something that says our God is great and worthy of our gold, silver, and precious stones. Amen. In a gold, silver, and precious stone, leaders grow up in the church, and they are ignited to do something new with God and start a new campus. We have three campuses. It's our vision to have multiple campuses. Every year, a church goes out of business in a neighborhood. Every year. There are churches for sale all over the Cleveland area, out of business. What would happen if we were a gold, silver, and precious stone and we developed leaders and volunteers and a whole crew of people would go and take a building over and one more time reignite that neighborhood for Jesus Christ? In a gold, silver, and precious stone church, you fulfill your divine purpose in life. You do with your life what God created you to do. In a gold, silver, and precious stone church, we're on the cutting edge of what God is doing in the world. Do you get this? I guarantee you, in the coming generation, God is going to do awesome things just like he did in the past generations. Church? And in the gold, silver, and precious stone church, we're part of God glorifying his name in all the earth. In the gold, silver, and precious stone church, we have the century church influence. Do you understand this? If you are a gold, silver, and precious stone, what you do in this generation will be affecting the world 100 years from now. If you're a wood, hay, and stubble church, you won't affect the people around you now. In a gold, silver, and precious stone church, we stand up together in the great kingdom of God, and we hear Christ say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you Lord over many." You see, ultimately, Christ judges our work. Each one's work will be manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer a loss. That's literally the word for bankrupt, a bankrupt life. Though he himself will be saved, but only through fire. I want to tell you something, and it's very important. God will not have his precious foundation ghettoized. Do you get it? He won't have it. It cost Christ way too much to lay the foundation of the church, and he will not abide, he will not bless, he will not endure building on his foundation with the leftovers of your life. The wood, hay, and straw church is consumed by the righteous examination of God. In fact, it rarely even makes it that long. History itself consumes it. The gold, silver, and precious stone church creates a temporary loss in my life, but it offers me an eternal reward forever. And Paul said, be warned, you don't want to be bankrupt when life is over. Let me show you where we've been. This was our church in 1982. Actually, we put that steeple on there after. This was probably 84, 85. This is where we came from. This is our church now, 36 years later. That's the campus on 82. Do you see what I'm saying? Gold, silver, and precious stone creates a church that God honors and blesses. It's attractive. It's interesting. People are inspired. Where are we going? There's only one place to go, church. It's to be a gold, silver, and precious stone church. Why are we going there? Because God doesn't have any other design. He has one blueprint, and that is for a gold, silver, and precious stone church. He doesn't recognize a wood, hay, and stubble church. He has no blueprint for it. He hasn't anything to do with it. We're going to be this kind of church because it's why the church exists. Who's going with us? Well, this is what I know from doing this my whole life. Everybody's not going. You know who's going to go? The people who will obey Christ, deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. Do you get it? If we're going to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, we got to deny ourselves. We got to take up our cross and we have to follow him. Who's going? Only those who see the wisdom in what Jesus Christ said when he taught, if you gain your life in this world, you'll lose it in the world to come. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel's sake, you'll gain it in the world to come. How are we going to get there? There's only one way to get there, church, and that's by faith. Because the scriptures teach us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so here's what I'm here to tell you this morning. You have the wonderful opportunity of being a gold, silver, and precious stone church. God has uniquely positioned this campus to be a gold, silver, and precious stone church. But you can't be that and give God the leftovers of your life. You can't be that and be cheap with your time, be cheap with your talent, and be cheap with your investments in God's kingdom. You see, it takes something. It costs something. Why should you? Because Jesus Christ deserves it. There's only one reason to be a church like this. Christ deserves it. He's already paid the gold, silver, and precious stone to make you part of his eternal kingdom, and he doesn't deserve anything less from us. Amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, oh, how I pray from the part of my heart that you've done your best work, that this would be a gold, silver, and precious stone church. I pray that this would make sense to people. I pray that they'd be to reconsider their life priorities. I pray that they'd be willing to reconsider what's really important to them. Then I pray that we'd be willing to do everything we have to do, that we could build a gold, silver, and precious stone church on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And it would last. It would last in time, and it would last the eternal examination of Jesus Christ. And we'd hear, well done, good and faithful servants. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.